Now, I guess everybody's wondering, who is Bill? Well, I don't know. The only thing important, or the only thing you need to know about Bill is that when I was 16 years old, I went over to a friend's house, and I looked on his shelf, and he had two books that caught my attention. Because at 16, I was already looking for something, God, I was looking for. And he had one book called Practicing the Presence by Joel S. Goldsmith. And so I took that down and looked at it and opened that thing up. And I saw the word Christ Jesus. And I thought, oh, religion. Forget it. And I put it back. He had another one called The Doors to Perception by Aldous Huxley. Now, that sounded interesting, so I took that one home. And I didn't know at the time, but the Infinite Way was going to get me. And I met a man that had been following the Infinite Way and practicing the principles, going to tape groups. And he had an answer. I could see it in his eyes. I could feel it around him. And so I was attracted to him. And I used to drop by his house to listen to what he had to say, because always there was people there. They were attracted, you know. Wherever there's a light, people will find it. And I found it. And so I would ditch school and go over to his house, because who cares about high school? I wanted what this man had. He had something. And one day I went over there and he gave me, this was 1971, and he gave me a copy of The Art of Meditation. And I took it home, and I was hooked. I was hooked. It was what I was looking for. And I would take it to school in the daytime and hide it behind my history book. And everybody's going over history, and I'm reading about meditation, you know, and about the Christ. And that's how I got started meditating in 1971. And so that's all you need to know about Bill. Now, what is important is consciousness. And consciousness is, according to Joel, the single most important word in the Infinite Way is consciousness. And consciousness is really where I want to start. I thought I knew what consciousness meant, but anybody that's been studying for any time knows that these words change on you. You open a book and there's something that wasn't there last year or the year before. Where did that come from? They printed something while I wasn't looking, you know. And I thought I knew consciousness pretty good. Yeah, consciousness expresses as the director that I am. It expresses as the husband that I am. It expresses as the father that I am. But then about a year and a half ago, there was a man named Alan, and he came up and gave a class near me. And I went to that class, and I heard consciousness lives itself, as itself. And I don't know how it is for you, but for me, some of these things haunt me. I'll hear something, and it haunts me. I have to take it and live with it and dwell on it and ponder it and cogitate it and meditate it, and it won't leave me alone. And apparently Joel is the same way, because I can remember him saying, "See, for man whose breath is in his nostrils, and my kingdom is not of this world." It used to haunt him. And so when I heard this, consciousness lives itself as itself, it haunted me. And I sit down to meditate, and there's consciousness lives itself. Oh, great. So there's nothing you can do, nothing I can do, but live with it until the truth comes out that it's meant to come out. And so I did. And it was changed. I hope that's okay. But there was a word stuck on the end of it. I didn't do it. And it became consciousness lives itself as itself infinitely. Wait a minute, now that's something entirely different. If Christ is consciousness, and it is, and consciousness is infinite, then if consciousness is living itself, it's going to be expressing infinitely. And if I see it in a limited way, I'm not seeing it right. And so I started to see, okay, consciousness lives itself as itself infinitely. That was about a year and a half ago. And it started living itself infinitely. And I was the beholder, am the beholder, watching it. Now, here's what happened. I was asked to go to South Carolina and speak to 550 people. And my wife and I went down there, and we both spoke to that group, and it was recorded. And then the recording went out, and a few people sitting here have heard it. An article that I wrote years ago was published by an international spiritual journal, and it went around the world. I have no idea how many people have seen that. I was asked to speak tentatively next February down here. I was asked to speak in Tennessee, up in Gatlinburg, went up there and spoke. And then I was asked to speak here today. Now that is consciousness living itself as itself infinitely. When we have a realization of a spiritual principle, you remember reading, Joel must have said a lot of times, realization is demonstration. You remember that? Yeah. And that's what happened. I realized it and now it's demonstrated. I realized it internally and now it's happening out here. And so, I had no idea what I was going to talk to you about, and sometimes we get busy, especially in the business that I'm in, but I guess we all do. And I was busy one day, and I was about to run out the door as a director of this outfit, you know, have these fires to put out. And I thought, oh, that's right, I better meditate first. So, I sat down for a quickie, got quiet, and tried to get silent there for a minute. Duration's not important. What's important is that we open the door, that we make the contact. It doesn't matter if it's an hour, it doesn't matter if it's 2 seconds. So I was trying to make the contact. And I got quiet, and all of this stuff started coming about putting off mortality and putting on immortality. And I carry a pen because I don't know when this is going to happen. So I got a piece of paper out of my pocket, and I started writing. You can see it scribbled up one side and down the other. And I tried to keep up with it. I think I got it all. Probably not, but I think I got most of it. And I went over to see Sarah, listened to a tape over at her house. And I said, you know, this whole class came through today, but I have no idea who it's for. And that's why I began this with, she was right, because she said, they'll show up. And here you are. So this class was given for you. For us. All of us are students of consciousness. There's no students and teacher and all that. We're students of consciousness. And consciousness is infinite, so it's going to be that way for a while. Now, the name that I was given is Putting Off Mortality and Putting On Immortality. That's the name of this class. And I will try my best to give it the way that I heard it. And we'll see what happens. The first thing that came out was, truth is shocking. And I understand that. I've told that to other people, and maybe people don't quite get it. Let's see if we can do it today. Most of us feel like, well, truth is peaceful and loving and gentle and kind, but truth is shocking. When absolute truth hits up against the human mind, the human mind is shocked into silence, into stillness. And I'm going to give you some examples. And let's all of us just be honest. I mean, let's put ourselves in this situation and see, what would we be doing and feeling and thinking? So let's put it into modern times. Let's say that we're fishing out there. Was it grouper that they go fishing for around here? I think it's grouper. Now you're out on a fishing boat and you've been having a pretty good day. And the sun's starting to set and you know it's time to go in. And you're starting to pull up the anchor and you look over there and there's somebody walking on the water towards your ship. What are you going to do? I know what I'm going to do. My mouth's going to drop open. And my mind's going to be, it's going to shut down. And that's what happens when the human mind encounters Christ. It's shocking. The human mind goes tilt, which is a good thing. Another example. And this one really is something when you really look at it. Here we are, we're sitting along the roadside. Here comes this Jeshua character. We know he's spiritual. Heard a couple of his talks. And he's walking along. We're just there kind of observing. Maybe we can catch something. And here comes another guy. And you see him walk up to him and he says, "Follow me." And you're just watching. And he says, "I can't follow you. I have to bury my dad. My dad died today." Now, of course, my heart bleeds. Doesn't yours bleed? Don't you have sympathy for the guy? "Poor guy. I'm sorry your dad died. Is there anything I can do for you?" Isn't that what we would do in a human? "I'm so sorry." And so we're expecting that out of the spiritual giant. And he says, "Let the dead bury the dead." What? Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm sitting there, my mind just stopped. It doesn't compute. It's shocking. Here's the biggest one. I try to put myself in this situation. I'll pick on somebody. The classes are over. It's Sunday afternoon. Someone says, "Can you give me a ride to the airport?" And you say, "Okay, sure. I want to be of service." So you put the person in the car and their things and you're driving towards the airport. And they say, "Wait a minute, can you pull in here for a minute? There's an errand I have to run." So you pull in there and you notice, and this is a graveyard. You pull in there, go up to the mausoleum. I don't know, but I think I'll just kind of hang back and see what this person's going to do. You know, I guess maybe he's paying the last respects. So you're being respectful too, and you walk up kind of quietly. Person walks in the mausoleum and you hear them say, "Jim Smith, come forth." And you hear this rustling, this drawer opening up, and two people come walking out. Now, are you going to be, "Hey, how are you?" Or are you going to be shocked? My mind would come to a standstill, and my mouth would drop open. Now, the reason why I bring that up is because what I'm going to tell you, if you get it, is just as shocking. If you get this, you won't be the same, ever. And if you don't get it, that's okay too. Because once it's sent out into consciousness, it's going to be got. Now, an example would be, one day I bought a Subaru Outback. And I had never had one before, and I didn't even notice any. But I bought the Subaru Outback, and I liked it, all-wheel drive and all that. And within 3 days, I saw them everywhere. There goes a green one. There's a white one. Just exactly like mine. How come I never saw these before? Because it wasn't in my consciousness. Once it entered my consciousness, it's mine. Now I see it everywhere. So once this is released into consciousness, it will be everywhere. And it doesn't matter who gets it and who doesn't. It's going to be God. Now, I thought that was just my idea. The truth is shocking. But then I stumbled onto this. See if this sounds familiar. Revelation always comes as somewhat of a shock. Not only to the person who receives the revelation, but also to those with whom it is shared. It is the nature of revelation to be shocking and startling, because when it hits up against our cherished beliefs, we become conscious of the degree to which our minds have been conditioned. So you see, according to Joel there, truth is shocking. When I wrote this down, I wrote it as fast as I could. Mary Baker Eddy, she said, mortality is a myth. If you take that and you look at it and you meditate on it and you turn it every which way, that's pretty shocking. Because everything that I see with my senses and feel and taste and touch and here, that's mortality. And that's a myth. I don't know if you can recall, I found an example of it. Joel's meditation where we look at the body and we start at the toes. You remember that? He said it's the only exercise. Let's see. There's only one exercise we use in the infinite way. And then he talked about it. How he went down to the toes and he said, am I in these toes? How can you put the infinite in the toes? He can't. Only he was doing this as he was walking along, walking down the street. And eventually he said to himself, if I am not in this body, then where am I? Who am I? What am I? And the word I struck fire. Ah, there it is. I am that I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will be with you unto the end of the world. This is not true of the body, is it? I am incorporeal. I am spiritual. I am omnipresence in my real identity. Now, if mortality is a myth and I'm not in the body, something's wrong with the way I'm seeing things. He talks about going to the mirror and looking at the reflection and saying, there I am not. And as I looked at this, I was shown another half to this meditation. And I don't know if I can get it across the way I got it, but I'm going to try. So we're going to have a little meditation. Close your eyes. And let's look at another part of this material sense that we have agreed we're going to put off mortality and put on immortality. So what we want to look at is when we were 5 years old. And here I am, 5 years old. Maybe six. Perhaps I'm dropped off for kindergarten for the first time. And there's a nap time, a little snack afterwards. Maybe I like the teacher, maybe I don't. And this age is just like the toes. And so I ask myself, am I in that? Can I be 5 years old? Really? Was I ever 5 years old? And if the answer is what... If you hear the same thing I do, the answer is no. You cannot get God into a five-year-old concept. Well, then what is it? It's a concept, material sense. God did not make a concept, therefore it was not made. And now I go up to where I'm, say, a teenager. Maybe I have my first girlfriend or my first boyfriend. Now I'm in school, studying. I'm a teenager, so I have most of the answers, if not all of them. Am I in that? If I am an immortal being, and I am, how can I be in this concept? Have I ever been in that concept? And so we see its material sense. But it's no different than the legs. Now what about when we were in our 20s? Maybe we were married for the first time, beginning a career, finishing school. I am a mortal being, eternal, without a beginning, without an ending. So who can be 20? Who was 20? We must put off mortality and put on immortality. So now I'm 50, or 60, or 70. Feeling a little arthritis. Don't move as fast as I used to. Can that be eternal life? It's a material concept. God did not create and it was not made. But there is another life, and it's immortal, and it's here, and it's now. And that is the life that I am. There's another you. In the kingdom of heaven, there's never been one single death. Not one. Ah, but in the kingdom of heaven, there has never been one single birth. We have been told, I am the way. Not this mortal concept. And now here we are, 80. About to breathe our last breath. Am I that? Am I in that life? Am I there? No. I am life eternal, never born, never dying. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to pick it up. This is material sense again, and there's no life in it. We have come to earth to find this immortal life and live in it. And when we live in it, we have overcome death. We can step out of material sense now, put on immortality. And for us, there is no death. This is life eternal, to know Thee, the only true God, and Christ, immortal being. Listen again to what Paul had to say. Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. It's material sense. There is no life that dies. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. When this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? This has to be done here, while we're walking in this earth. And the words aren't important. What's important is that we have this meditation and we go back and start to realize none of this was the life that God made. And that we start putting off mortality and putting on immortality and sensing it and feeling it and walking in it. It's not enough to know it with our minds or to read it in a book. We have to begin to walk in this consciousness of immortality. And when we do this and begin to do this, we are stepping out of the cycle that ends in death. We are so conditioned, I am conditioned by religion to believe and to think that, well, I'm going to leave here and St. Pete's going to meet me at the gate and he's going to say, well, did you get your immortality? Did you get your eternal life, ma'am? Your eternal life? And it doesn't work that way. It's not going to happen unless it happens here. And Paul told us what to do. And Joel told us what to do. And Alan told us what to do. We have to put off mortality consciously. And put on immortality consciously. It's a conscious thing. And when it's realized, it's demonstrated. And then we face that last scene this way. There's a picture, an appearance of somebody 80 years old. Well, what do we care? We're walking out of here in the invisible. That has ceased to exist for us. We walk right out, consciously aware of our immortality. And I was looking for an example of this, and I found this. Do not take lightly what I am saying. This is the great revelation. This knowledge will clarify for you the Master's statement, "My kingdom is not of this world." It will reveal to you the secret of John the Revelator. The life of material man, the life of tree, flower, animal, this is not life eternal. Do not attempt to patch up this sense of life. Isn't that what we do? We're hoping to practice these principles and fix something. I'm guilty of it. But we are told, you cannot add God to your humanhood. You cannot put a new patch on an old garment. Mortality has to go. Even good mortality, even if it looks good, I'm sorry. If you don't want to die down there at the end, it has to be done now, and the good has to go too. to find eternal life, they both have to go. And so he said, do not attempt to patch up the sense of life. Rather, turn from it and feel the divine energy of spirit. Believe me, this is the secret of secrets. This is life eternal, to know this truth. Truly, kings and emperors would give their thrones could they but learn this one truth. Only to those who have eyes to see and ears to hear can this vision become a living, vital presence. It becomes your living, vital presence. Not something that's added. There's not God and you. So if you have the eyes to hear and the ears to hear, it becomes your living presence. Only those who have heard what is said by the still small voice and seen what is visible to the windows of the soul can discern the temple not made with hands. Immortal being, realized right now as your being. That's the temple not made with hands. This inner vision, this spiritual consciousness, this soul sense comes only as we accept and realize the great secret. The life of material man is not eternal life. It is finite sense, material sense. And this false sense of life must be put off, disregarded and unvalued, in order that the real life may become evident and experienced. So, the meditation is to put off mortality and put on immortality. And we go back and we look at the different places where we thought we had a life, looked like one, and we realize, no, it wasn't life at all. This is the material sense that comes to an end. And that's not my life. That's not a mortal life, a mortal being. It came to me this way. Without eyes, I can see. Without ears, I can hear. Without a brain, I still have thought. Who am I? I am the resurrection. You see, there has to be a resurrection of another self. And it's an eternal self. And it's your real self. And it's the one God created and made, maintains and sustains. And when we live in it consciously, death is done, folks. It's over. You've received your eternal life. Congratulations. And I'm going to finish up with something. This weekend is called Be Still and Know. And when anyone learns to be still and rest, gee, I left that big old part out of there. I can't do that. What are you supposed to do when you discover your mortal life and you sense it and feel it? Nothing. You're supposed to rest and be still. And be a beholder. Joel had it right. Be a beholder of immortality living itself as itself infinitely through you. As you. And so resting is very important. That's the only thing left to do. It has its own intelligence. And this whole class, this whole idea, this whole principle today came out of resting. And so did this. And this is called silence. And let me read it to you. What is silence? Is silence an absence of sound? No, for I have felt the silence while walking on a noisy, crowded avenue. Is silence an absence of thought? No. No, for silence has come upon me in the middle of a movie theater, even while focused on the action of the movie. What then is silence? On a warm and lazy day, while lying in the grass and looking up at the sky, the clouds come and then move out of sight. Yet the sky remains. An airplane appears and then is gone. A bird flies by and still, behind all this, the sky remains. Now turn the gaze inward. A thought comes and then disappears. A feeling floats by and then is gone. Yet behind all this, the silence remains. My child, you have learned to still your thoughts in order to become aware of the silence within. Yet I would not have you cling to the practice which led you to your inner silence, but rather rest in the inner silence to which you were led. It is silence from which you sprung forth and silence to which you shall return. But in truth, you have always existed as the silence. A lifetime appears and then passes away. And another, yet silence is undisturbed. Infinite, eternal, the silence of your being, even now beckons you home. It is the silence of your being that is the real hidden manna. And now know this. I have given you a white stone upon which is written a new name. Silence is that name. And no one knows, saving him that receiveth it, your real name is silence. You are the silence from which all life flows. You are the infinite silence itself. At all times and all places that appear to you, learn to rest back in the silence of your being. Commune with that silence. Feel that silence. Know that only the silence is real. O dear one, have I been so long a time with you and thou hast not known me? Know me now, the silence of your being. Trust me, I will never leave you nor forsake you, for in truth, I am you. Peace I give unto you. Rest now in the silence of being. The only other thing I would leave you with is this. We are pioneers. Once a thing has been released into consciousness, it's there, and it's there for all time. And we agreed to come here on Earth so that we could discover, live in, and show forth immortal being. Because I think because we love God, we decided this. And we're doing it. And because of this, the future generation will be born into this consciousness. They won't have to go through all the stuff that we're doing. We're pioneers. And if each of us goes into our neighborhood and our part of the planet and starts to practice this putting off mortality and putting on immortality, and consciously lives in immortality and rests and beholds immortality living itself, this is going to go forth and change the entire consciousness of Earth. No kidding. And future generations will be born into this consciousness. And Joel agrees. We're pioneers. And blessed. Behold, what manner of love the Father has, that we should be called Christ, immortal being, the child of God. Thank you.